announcements that I didn't get done. Keep in your prayers. Jay Gadlidge is at St. Mary's right now. Chuck Lyons had surgery last week, and I think he got home. And Jeff Slender had surgery up at Loyola, and he came home and had to go into the hospital here, but he's out now. But that's Michelle, you may have noticed, is not here today, and so keep them in your prayers. Also, this number 83 women's banquet, number 84 takes place in 10 days or 11 days and 2 weeks from now. We have room for women on that one, if any, you know of anybody that might want to go, and just for your information. Let's pray for the message. It's always good to pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you would use me today, that you would speak through this message to those of us who may really need to hear this, but also as a reminder for those of us who may be in better places than this message speaks to. In Jesus' name, amen. This is actually the seventh in this series on spiritual erosion, from the story of Gideon in the Old Testament. Today I want to talk to you about a common problem that a lot of us have. We quit before we're finished. We don't see a project through to the end. We give up or give in to one of our worst enemies, usually, namely, yourself. Anybody here ever quit smoking and you committed yourself to not smoking? You go along for a while and then the stress of life comes your way, and or your own weakness comes upon you, and your flesh screams at you and you start smoking again. I know how that goes. I smoked for 18 years and I must have quit a dozen times during that time. Or maybe like the alcoholic who overcomes the weakness through the power of God or some internal personal strength, and yet as circumstances go, he gives in to his own flesh or Satan or his own sinful nature and once again becomes an active alcoholic. Or a person on a diet who wins the battle of the bulge, but little by little gives in to the flesh again. Anybody here identify with that battle? Anyone here who has defeated some point of personal bondage from childhood by the power of God, like a poor self-image or lack of worth or points of anger or despair or fear, or anyway, the Lord delivered you from this past bondage for a while, but you find yourself falling prey once again to that point of failure or point of bondage. You find yourself falling into the same traps, feelings, and bondage. Now, those are some of the negative things that we overcome, and then we fall prey to them again. We essentially were delivered from something and freed by the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, but we find that we begin to lose the battles of life. What about the positive victories that we experience? But because of lack of perseverance, lack of attention, or distractions of life, we lose the long-term battles. And ultimately, the war in some area in the game of life. I think of a couple who gets married. What a glorious high point that was. A real victory is that wedding ceremony. And the marriage stays together for years. But because of sin and lack of attention, the distractions of life, the marriage and the couple end up defeated. They lose in the game of marriage. One of the things I learned a long time ago, when people get married, they want each other. And when they get old, they need each other. But someplace in that middle area, we neither want nor need each other. I think of a man who starts a business, his own business, but over the years, because of distractions or lack of perseverance or inattention, his own sinfulness, the sin of others, the business fails. Or he fails and all is lost in the game of the business world. He had a great victory when he finally started the business, but it ends up failing because he doesn't win the game of business. I think of a person who goes to college, wins the victory of just being accepted into college, and then flunks out. He loses the war, even though a victory was won just by getting in. I think of the kid who gets an A on a test and then rests on his laurels and ends up failing because he fails to study. He doesn't pursue the battle of learning and school. There are so many ways to lose in this life. But the easiest way to lose is not to follow through on initial victories. The easiest way to lose is to not follow through when you have accomplished something great. The easiest way to lose in life is to quit before you're finished. It is true in all the games of life that we play. Now, today's message is good for anybody, whether you are a believer in Jesus or not as your Savior. But even though this message will speak to anyone, if you listen, I want to address the problem of quitting before you're finished to the Christian. If you are a believer in Jesus as your Savior and at some point committed your life to Jesus as Lord, don't quit before you are finished in serving Him with your life. This message is a continuation of the series of messages that I did on Gideon that we took a pause last week to visit the zombies. And they're all about the pictures in the Old Testament. If you would read with me 1 Corinthians 10:11, which is printed, because this tells us about all these stories. Here we go. Now these things happened to them as a warning, but they were written down for our instruction upon whom the end of the ages has come. Contained in the stories of the Old Testament are lessons for us. In the pictures of the people and the situations and the circumstances in the Old Testament, there are lessons about life and our relationship with God. Now, we followed Gideon as God called him out of spiritual erosion and raised him up as a leader of his people to bring them out of bondage to the Midianites. We watched as God called him, made him clean up his own house first before he could help the other people. Then we saw how God would give him signs along the way to encourage him and move him along. We saw how God whittled him down in strength so that Gideon knew that it was God who was really with him and not his own strength. And finally, we saw how God brought a great victory in Gideon. He and 300 men were the agents of God's judgment when 120,000 Midianites died at their own hand in confusion of the moment. And as we followed Gideon in these messages, we saw how his story parallels how God works in our lives. We learn the lessons of being God's leaders. These are stories in the Old Testament are there for our instruction. We left Gideon a couple weeks ago at the point of his greatest victory in life, the night when 120,000 Midianites died. Now, Gideon could have been like so many of us in the battles of life. He could have failed to follow through on his victory. If he had had the rest of the enemy, could have escaped and to come and war at them again, but he followed through on his great victory. And I want us to look at his initial victory and then his pursuit of the enemy and see how Gideon won the victory in the game of life and apply the principles to our own battles in life. Read with me verses 19 to 22, and it's so Gideon and the 300 men. Got it? Okay, here we go. So Gideon and the 300 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, when they had just set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the jars, holding in their left hands the torches, and in their right hands the trumpets to blow. And they cried, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." They stood every man in his place around about the camp. All the army ran. They cried out and fled. When they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow and against all the army. And the army fled as far as Bethshittah, toward Zarara, as far as the border of Abimelech, by Tabith. Just want to make sure you understand it. It's Now, I want us to pause here and get the point. Gideon has this great victory. 120,000 Midianites die because of the confusion. They end up killing each other. 15,000 Midianites flee. Now, Gideon and his little band of 300 men could have stopped right then. That was a great victory. They could have gone back to their camp and high-fived it and broke out the beer, and it's because it's definitely Miller time. They could have stopped. They could have had, they've quit right then. A great victory. Great victory. I know people who quit when they win a great victory. They come to know Jesus as their Savior and they proclaim the victory. They go back to their camps, their houses, and they party, have a party. They quit right then. They never do anything else with their newfound faith. You can also apply this picture to any human victory as well. A lot of people quit after a great personal victory and they rest on their laurels. Well, Gideon doesn't. Read with me verses 23 and 24. And the men of Israel were called out from Naphtali and from Asher and from all Manasseh, and they pursued after Midian. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all the hill country of Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and seize the waters against them as far as Beth Barah and also the Jordan. So all the men of Ephraim were called out, and they seized the waters as far as Beth Barah and also the Jordan. Now, Gideon gets help. What he does, he asks some of the other people of God who are round about to help him defeat the enemy. Now, the wisdom here is this. Though a great victory has been wrought against the enemy, that enemy is not dead and is not done in seeking to defeat you, to overcome you, to rule over you, to win the game against you. And unless you pursue the enemy to destruction, you will never be rid of him. Now, the two enemies that all of us have in this world, and especially as God's people, is ourself and Satan. You have got to win the battle against yourself with God's help, and you have got to win the battle against Satan as he tries to bring you to destruction. You've got to win the game. Self and Satan will always haunt you at the points of your victory. Satan will give you enough space, enough time to hang yourself. He will slowly recruit your own self-will, self-centeredness. He will weaken your confidence and resolve that you thought God had worked in the victory and the commitment to the Lord, and he'll work against that. He'll undermine it. We call it spiritual erosion. He'll come back and try to cripple your life and your ministry. And if you are one of God's people, you are an agent. You have ministry. So don't quit before you're finished. Finish the game. But not only finish the game, we need to win the game. In the game of football, as well as the game of life, you play the first half, but you win it in the second half. Somebody needs to tell the Bears that. Read with me verse 25. And they took the two princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb as they pursued Midian. And they brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon beyond the Jordan. Now, I want to reiterate that these stories are here for us to see the lessons on the realities of life. They catch these two princes. They are not the kings of Midian, just princes. You know that Satan has been called the prince of evil. Nowhere is he ever called a king. He is a prince, the prince of evil. He is a pretender to the throne. They catch these two guys, these two princes. Now, it's very... I would suggest if you ever study the Bible, make sure you look up the names and what they mean. Because the names have a lot of meaning hidden in them a lot of times. The meaning of the names of Oreb and Zeb are very significant. Oreb means raven. Now that bird represents evil and never brings good tidings. It's the opposite of the dove, which is the picture of the Holy Spirit. When Noah was in the Ark of the Covenant, he sent out the raven never came back. The dove came back. Zeb means wolf. And a wolf is the picture of the action of Satan. In the 10th chapter of John, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. Read with me verse 12 of chapter 10 of John. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. If you'll notice there, he says, the wolf is the one who snatches them and scatters them. So we see the aspect of Satan like a wolf from Jesus. So Gideon and God's people cut off the heads of these princes. And what I see is two aspects of Satan, the bearer of evil tidings and the raven. You know, have you ever noticed that Satan never gives you good news? And the beast that hunts, that scatters and kills the sheep of God, the wolf. So in the princes, raven and wolf, I see Satan pursued and defeated in our lives. The only way to deal with a snake is to cut off its head, and that's what they do to Oreb and Zeb. They cut off their heads. But the game isn't over. Not yet. Just because you defeat Satan in your life doesn't mean the game is over. The real king of your life is yet to be defeated, and that king is you. Or it could be the kings of this world who come against you. You see, we, unlike Satan, are called kings and queens. We are royalty through Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. In 1 Peter, it calls us a royal priesthood. Jesus is the King of Kings, and each one of us is a king or a queen. We are part of a royal priesthood. We have our kingdoms. Everybody here has a kingdom. It's made up of all that we possess and have rule over in this world right now. So in this story, Gideon has to continue on. And I know some Christians who, after they have won a great victory, sit down and celebrate. I know other followers of Jesus who pursue for a little while. They have other victories against the evil things against them and others around them in life for a while, and then they quit, thinking that since they have defeated Satan in their life, the game is won. Well, it isn't. Don't quit before you're finished. Finish the game. But not only finish the game, we need to win the game. And this is when it really gets tough. You have had victories in your life, and you know you haven't completed everything you know is out there, but you are tired. Anybody here ever get tired? You want to quit? This is a great message for me on a women's weekend. Most people do quit. I want us to read chapter 8, verse 4 in Judges. Here we go. And Gideon came to the Jordan and passed over. He and the 300 men who were with him, faint yet pursuing. I have it printed in big print there so you get the message. Faint yet pursuing. Say those three words with me. Faint yet pursuing. These words need to be shouted at times. Faint yet pursuing. Gideon and his men were exhausted. They were spent, worn out, wasted, used up, overworked and underpaid, drained, pooped, stressed out and running on empty, and almost out of bullets. But they were still in pursuit. These three words need to be engraved in stone in our hearts and minds as one scripture which can prod us when we want to quit before we're finished. Faint yet pursuing. Doesn't matter whether it is keeping that cigarette out of your mouth or that bottle out of your mouth or that piece of chocolate out of your mouth. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about your business or your marriage or your job or maybe your schoolwork or anything else. Don't quit before you're finished. You play the first half in football, but you win it in the second half. This applies to just about any area of our lives. And you can do a lot after you get tired. But I want to focus in on our following Jesus. Don't quit before you're finished. And you're not supposed to be finished until they put you in that box and I say a few good words over you. Sometimes it gets real tough. Real wearing, real easy to quit. Sometimes you look around and other people you know who you consider to be strong men or strong women of faith, and they just kind of quit. And it's real easy to quit when you see others quit and when you're tired. That's why Paul writes in Galatians about this. Read with me Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Faint, yet pursuing. Anybody here and you've grown weary of well-doing in the name of Jesus? You haven't given up, at least not yet, but you are weary. Anybody here and in your own personal following Jesus, you seem to have battled Satan and yourself and even other Christians in the world around you, and you're just tired of it? Listen to the words of Paul. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. But if we do not lose heart, don't lose heart. And know for a fact, you aren't the first person in the world to ever be weary. Can you see Gideon and his band of men with their tongues hanging out of their mouths, chasing after these two kings of the Midianites, faint yet pursuing? Say it with me. Faint yet pursuing. Just a personal note. Personal example. You know, I have been in the ministry now forever. No, 40-some years. In 1975, I went to a church in Western Kentucky. That was the same year that Walter Payton came to the Chicago Bears. It was the same year that Saturday Night Live came into being with Chevy Chase and John Belushi and all those guys. Gerald Ford was president. I spent 23 years at that church before I came up here to Decatur. You know, that was kind of like the first half, you might say, in terms of my ministry. And I know that when I got done with that first half and I came up here, it was a time of reflection when I first started here and evaluating what I'd been doing up to that point in terms of ministry and what I had done well and what do you want to accomplish when you're in the second half, so to speak. Because I'd played the first half. You look at what works and what doesn't work. You get a breather also. And then you start the second half. I think in some ways this church played its first half too before 2009 because we had a 50-year celebration for this church when we were still Woodland Chapel over there. And then we moved over here, and I think we're in the second half. But that move was a transitional time, kind of like the first half and the second half, you might say. And I know this, you play the first half, but you got to win it in the second half. We win it in the second half. So Gideon rides on. He defeats the enemy. Read with me chapter 8, verses 10 to 12. Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor with their army, about 15,000 men, all who were left of all the army of the people of the east, for there had fallen 120,000 men who drew the sword. And Gideon went up by the caravan route east of Nobah and Jogbeha and attacked the army, for the army was off its guard. And Zeba and Zalmunna fled, and he pursued them and took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and he threw all the army into a panic. He catches the two kings of the Midianites, Zeba and Zalmunna. Now, I see in these kings a picture of the twin enemies in ourselves that we battle in our walk with Jesus, especially when we get weary with well-doing or we lose our zeal for serving Jesus. Zeba means sacrifice, and Zalmunna means withheld hospitality. The two things I see in disciples of Jesus, and you could... You could talk about backsliding Christians as well. You might say there are two aspects of that. When we lose our zeal, when we get tired of serving, of being spiritual, and we enter into a spiritual complacency, which is spiritual erosion, really, we will not sacrifice our time, our talents, and our treasure to help advance the kingdom of God. We won't do it. We withhold also our help from others. We don't get involved. We quit serving the Lord because we don't care. And when we don't care, we don't help. We withhold our help. We withhold our hospitality and our ability to help and to protect others from the problems of life. And we're not going to sacrifice. These are the two kings, the two aspects that we battle when we are faint yet pursuing. We are at war with our own self, our desire to withhold our help, our care, and because we can't get to the point where we are just not willing to sacrifice anymore because we're tired, we'll let them do it. Tell me it's not true. Anyone here and you are tired in your faith? Don't you see yourself giving in to your own desire to quit? You quit helping. You quit sacrificing for Jesus, for the church, for anybody. We can learn something from Gideon in this age of quitters that we live in. Following Jesus is not an easy road, but we live in an age of quitters. And there needs to arise in those of us who follow Jesus as those 300 men followed Gideon, a desire to finish the game, and not only finish the game, but win it. We who follow Jesus need to persist and persevere to advance and establish the kingdom of God in every dimension of our lives and not quit. You know, even if we have our tongues dragging, faint yet pursuing at times, keep on even when you want to faint. Let me show you how Gideon won the game. He won it in this thing, in these last two verses here. Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and all that was left of their army was 15,000 men. 120,000 had died. And it says that Gideon went up by the caravan route east of Nobah and Jogbeha and attacked the enemy, for the enemy was off its guard. And you need to hear the words. The enemy was off its guard. They weren't expecting it. Surprise. Surprise. I'll tell you what, Satan is not ready for Christians who pursue in order to advance the kingdom. He expects us to quit. If we get tired, he expects it. He backs off, expecting that we'll get that guy another day. He's worn out now. He doesn't expect us to continue the battles. Most Christians stop after the initial victory. Some will pursue for a while until they get tired. But the ones that really win are those of us who are faint, yet pursuing. Gideon killed these two kings, sacrificed and withheld hospitality. And he eliminated the fears of the people. He eliminated the threat to their well-being. Gideon eliminated that which had afflicted him and his people. As followers of Jesus, who even if we are faint, keep at it, are the ones who advance the kingdom, eliminate fears in ourselves and people we care for. We eliminate threats to our well-being and affliction. We help ourselves and others to be rid of those same things. So take a lesson from this guy right here. When it comes to following Jesus, don't quit before you're finished. And receive the admonition of the Apostle Paul as well. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Becoming a Christian is the first half of the game. Being a Christian for the rest of your life is the second half of the game. You play the first half, but you have to win it in the second half. Let's pray. Lord, help us to understand the need for staying power, perseverance, persistence, and just stick-to-itiveness in following you. In Jesus' name, amen.